are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These two statements from Jesus come without any kind of qualification. They're not conditionals. It's not as if he says, if you do this, then you will be the salt of the world, or if you do that, then you will be the light of the world. No. Jesus makes these declaratory statements with the same degree of certainty as he makes his statements regarding himself as being, I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and indeed, I am the light of the world. That last statement, I am the light of the world, comes from John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 9, verse 5. It's interesting. The only difference here between these statements, I am, and the one he makes for us, you are. The only difference is this element of that name of God that's contained within it, I am. As we saw in the scene where Moses goes and he's encountered by God through the burning bush, and God says to him, I am that I am. Moses says, who am I to say sent me? Who am I to say to the Israelites who sent me to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians? And God says to him, you shall say that I am has sent you. I am that I am. The Hebrew name for God is Yahweh, and it is the to-be verb in Hebrew. The to-be verb, I am, is God's name. It's like God is saying, I am and I cannot not be. That is God's identity. That is God's nature, to exist. And Jesus takes that very same concept, that very same name, and applies it to himself when he says, I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door for the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. It's as if he's saying also God, or Yahweh, is the good shepherd. Yahweh is the light of the world. Yahweh is the way, the truth, and the life. These are all statements that Jesus has made about himself, identifying himself with God, as God. The only difference here today is that now he's pointing towards us. In Matthew's reading here, we have Jesus pointing towards us, not saying I am now, but instead here saying you are the light of the world. What an amazing statement for him to say. You are the light of the world. Not if you do this you will be the light, not if you do this you will be the salt, but you are. Not you're going to become the light of the world, you're going to become the salt of the earth, but you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are that now. You are the light, you are the salt of the world. Well, Greg, I take a look at myself, I took a look at my own life, I take a look at what we do, and I don't see it. I don't see myself as the light of the world. I don't see the church as the salt of the earth. We mess up. We have our own agenda, we have our own desires, our own wishes, what we want to do things the way we want them done, and not God's way, or we think that our way has to be God's way. And we behave unlike the light of the world. We behave unlike the salt of the earth. We smother the light of the world in us by our own will, our own desires, our own objectives, our own ideas, our own agenda. The other day I was preparing some steaks, and I had had the grill going. I put the charcoal in the middle of the grill, and I put a whole lot of lighter fluid on it, and I got it really ready to go, and I lit it up, whoosh, and it went, and it started to, just fire was just going like crazy. It was nice and hot and billowing. It was great. So I said, I'll just let that keep going, and I'll go inside and prepare the steaks. But I wanted it to get hot, so I lowered the lid on the grill and went inside, and I marinated the steaks and got them ready, and I thought, okay, now the grill should be just about ready to take the steaks. So I went outside, and I noticed that the thermostat on the grill didn't seem to say it was any warmer. I tapped the thermostat, I opened the lid on the grill, and the coals had gone out. They weren't glowing. I didn't get that red glow I was expecting. There was no flickering fire. There's no red glow. What had happened? What had happened to my charcoal fire? I'd smothered it. I'd lowered a lid on it and didn't provide any airflow intake, and it had used up all the oxygen and gone out before it had gotten hot. So I had to pour more lighter fluid on it and light it up, and then I stood there and waited as the charcoal got strong and as it started to glow and get ready. And I made sure that the vent was open on the side and that the little chimney cover was open as well. And I made sure that the vent was open on the side and that the little chimney cover was open as well so that you could get airflow through and it would go hot and burn well. I had smothered it. By covering it up, I had smothered it. And that is what we do. Repeatedly as Christians and as the body of Christ, we smother the light of God's love. We smother that light that God has given us. We smother the I am the light of the world. We smother that message. We smother the gospel. We smother the good news. We smother the grace. We smother the hope. We smother the love with our agenda, our desires, our mistakes, our errors, our sins. With us, we become the bushel basket that we put the light under. We smother the light of the world. When we focus on ourselves, when we focus on our own agenda, when we focus on our own objectives, our own dreams, to the exclusion of God's agenda, God's will, God's dreams, when we focus on ourselves to the exclusion of the other, when we do not love our neighbor as ourselves, when we do not love God as God has called us, when we focus in on the minutia of life rather than the message of the gospel, we smother the light of the world. Our salt loses its taste. We become bland and we become cold and we do not shine on a hilltop. That's the danger that we face. As Christians, that's the danger that we face each and every time we place ourselves and our own agenda and our own ideas and our own conceptions ahead of Jesus. When we place ourselves ahead of the gospel, the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, the message of salvation and sanctification and glorification, when we place ourselves and our own ideas ahead of God, ahead of Jesus, ahead of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we smother the light of the world. And our salt loses its taste. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but we do it all the time. Just take a look at what happens at general and jurisdictional and annual conference sessions. You get a whole bunch of clergy together and a whole lot of politician-type people together, and they start arguing and fighting over stuff, and pretty soon, it's not the gospel we're talking about, it's our own petty agenda. And we're putting our light under a bushel basket every time. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but we do. We're supposed to put it on the lampstand, but we don't. We hide it. We smother it. We hoard it to ourselves. That's just as bad. We've got this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine for me. And only me. That's just as bad as smothering it. It's this desire to hoard it to ourselves. The Presbyterians, I love my brothers and sisters in the Presbyterian church are wonderful people, wonderful pastors, wonderful lay people, wonderful church. They're Calvinist in their theological outlook. And one of the greatest Calvinist theologians, Henry Ward Beecher. I've told stories about him here in the past. He was considered a prince, at the time in the early 1900s, they called him a peacock of the pulpit because he was so flamboyant in his preaching style, so engaging in his preaching style. And one day he got up in his pulpit and he says, "We are God's chosen few. All others shall be damned. There is no place in heaven for you. We can't have heaven crammed." Huh? That's what we do when we hide the light of the world, the light of God's love, the joy and the peace and the hope and the love of the good news of Jesus Christ. When we hoard it to ourselves, it's just as bad as when we smother it with our own agenda. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. That's what we're called to do. Giving light to all in the house, all in the house of God, all in the house of creation. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Oh boy. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give you great big high fives. Woohoo! You are righteous for Jesus. Right? Shake your heads now. All right, good. Whew. Now, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your church. No. Give glory to your Father. No, not the preacher. Heavens, no. Last possible person. I heard that too. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Why? How? Because the one who says, "I am the light of the world," becomes our light, so that we may be the light of the world for others. He who is the light of the world, he who is the way, the truth, and the life, he who is the good shepherd, he who is the door for the sheep, he who is the Word of God, he who is the Lamb of God, he who is the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord is our light. And when we turn to him, we are then empowered by his grace. When we partake of the means of grace and scripture, sacrament, fellowship, when we partake of his grace, we are so fed and so empowered by his light that we're then called to share it with others. He is the light of the world, and we are called to be the light of the world too. Check that. Not called to be. We are. If we are the light of the world, and Jesus said we are, then we ought to start acting like it and living a life of grace and faith and hope and love, sharing God's love with all. That's our mission as the church, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's not just about headhunting for Jesus, friends. It's about changing the world, and we start with us by living the life of the one who is the light of the world. That's what we're called to do. Don't smother the light. Don't close the lid. But let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
let God's people say.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon me.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, senior pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.